sunny morning in a prosperous suburban neighborhood. Silence of the Heart, with narrative description by Audio Vision Canada. A newsboy delivers papers. Meanwhile, a middle-aged blonde woman, Barbara Lewis, makes coffee in her kitchen. Starring Mariette Hartley. Upstairs, Barbara's young teenage daughter, Cindy, spins a soccer ball on a fingertip, Dana Hill. In the bathroom, Barbara's middle-aged husband, Carl, examines his face in a mirror, Howard Hussman. Chad Lowe. Soon after, Barbara gathers flowers from a garden, and Carl finishes a cup of coffee. Silvana Gallardo. Introducing Elizabeth Berridge as Penny. When Carl hurries outside, Barbara gives him a hug and a kiss goodbye. Alexandra Powers as Andrea. Cindy picks up her bike from the front lawn and rides off. Charlie Sheen as Ken. Upstairs in his bedroom, Barbara and Carl's handsome blonde teenage son, Skip, lies in bed staring into space. Music by Georges Delarue. Edited by Peter E. Berger. Later, several teenage boys work out in a school weight room. Art director, Herman Zimmerman. Director of photography, Isidore Mankowski. Co-producer, David A. Simons. Executive producers, Steve Tisch and John Abnett. Skip bench presses a heavy barbell. Produced by James O'Fallon. Written by Phil Penningroth. Directed by Richard Michaels. Skip's friend Ken hovers over him anxiously as he struggles to lift the weight.
All right, come on. No! Come on.
No!
Hey, Skip, Andrew's not here, so you're trying to impress, huh?
Myself!
Skip grits his teeth, but he can't lift the bar off his chest. So Ken helps him. When Skip sits up, exhausted and disheartened, Ken gives him an encouraging pat on the back, and the two head for the locker room. Ken and Skip chat as they get dressed.
Coming to the pool tonight?
I can't. Everybody's gonna be there.
Everybody but me.
Is it because you don't have a date?
No.
Because if it is, I'm telling you, Carolyn Jasper has got the hots for you.
No, it's family stuff.
Yeah.
My folks are having this barbecue and they expect me to be there.
Well, Carolyn's gonna miss you.
A boy enters, flaunting a piece of paper.
You know what this is?
Yeah, toilet paper,
Einstein. It's my passport to Princeton, chums.
Hey, those the SATs?
Yeah, they're in.
Soon after, a guidance counselor opens a cabinet and pulls out a file folder.
Here it is.
Opening the folder, she scans a document inside it. Skip smiles nervously.
Not Ivy League, huh?
She hands him the document, and he reads it with growing concern.
It's not good.
I know how disappointed you must be. But there are a lot of fine junior colleges.
Don't try to comfort me, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's not the end of the world, right?
Exactly. You can always take the test again, you know.
Skip nods glumly.
Remember, most of the schools put a lot of emphasis on extracurricular activities.
Hey, I ran track for a while.
Well, we all know that you can do much better. So talk to your parents, see what they think, then let you and me discuss some schools, okay?
Come back and see me. You still have a lot of options open.
All right, I will.
Skip shakes the woman's hand and steps out of her office. Skip enters a busy hallway. He leans against a wall, demoralized.
Michael?
A pretty girl calls to Skip.
Hi.
She steps toward him.
You okay?
Okay.
walk together.
So what's this about your quitting work?
Oh, I don't know. I just couldn't take it anymore, so I'm out of there.
Wow.
Excuse me.
I won't be the same without you.
Sure will.
So come in sometime and I'll give you a free pizza, okay?
Okay, I'll do that. Right, I'll catch you later, okay?
Disappointed, the girl watches Skip hurry off. Soon after, Skip gazes into a mirror over a sink in a school washroom. Of boys enter, Skip hastily washes his hands, embarrassed. Later, after classes, Skip leaves the school grounds. He watches a trio of pretty girls walk by.
Andy?
Skip calls to a statuesque blonde.
We'll wait for you in the car.
Yeah, I'll give you two some privacy.
Andrea's two girlfriends step away. As Skip approaches her, Ken watches nearby.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, listen, you know about that swimming party tonight? I was just wondering if you might like to come with me.
Oh, gee, Skip, I'm sorry, but I'm busy tonight.
Okay, tomorrow, we'll be your son.
Well, I've got plans for some weekend.
Next week.
Skip.
I'm free July the 10th.
I've got to go, okay?
Andrea walks off. Crushed, Skip watches Andrea. When Ken walks toward him, Skip sees him coming and hurries off. Ken catches up with Skip.
Hey, Skip, can you give me a ride over to the hospital? My car's in the shop.
No, man, I got things to do.
Well, come on, I'll be late. Hey, what is the big deal? You know, I'd do it for you.
Okay, fine. But, I mean, don't you ever get depressed seeing all those sick kids in the hospital?
Depressed? Nah, these kids are great. You should come down there with me sometime. In fact, why don't you come down today? No? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. So what'd you get?
SATs?
Yeah.
12-10. How about you?
Don't ask.
Hey, it's no big deal.
Yeah, tell that to my dad.
Listen, don't worry about it. What about Andrea? Are you going to see her this weekend?
I guess. I don't know. I have to call her.
Oh, yeah? Way to go. What'd she say? Skip. Hey, listen, man. If you're not going to talk...
I just don't want to talk about it, okay?
The two get into Skip's car.
Remember when we were kids?
Yeah. Four girls.
Yeah, and SATs. God, you know, I thought I'd turn 16 and have my own car and life was just going to be great.
Skip, don't your parents keep telling you that these are the best years of your life?
What do you mean it gets worse?
Soon after, they arrive at the hospital.
All right, thanks a lot. See you later.
Right.
Ken gets out of the car.
Yeah, folks barbecue breaks up early. Try and make it by the pool. It's gonna be a late one.
All right.
All right?
Yeah. All right, I'll see.
Okay. Hey, you know, about the other stuff, Skip, you know, I mean, sometimes you gotta roll with the changes, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we can lighten up a little bit?
Ken, get the hell out of here.
All right. See you later.
Skip smiles as his friend walks off. But his expression quickly turns morose. Inside the hospital, Ken heads for a nursing station.
Hey, Lillian, how's everybody doing today?
Oh, great. Even Henry's doing better.
Oh, great. Hi, Ken.
Hey, making your rounds?
Yep.
Soon after, Ken reads a story to Henry, a sick little boy.
And as the young girl fled toward the waiting eagle, the warrior held the skellers off. The hatch is...
Henry grins as he listens.
...on the smooth alloy skin of the spaceship. With a mere thought, a flick of his mind, Zardin gave the order and the eagle obeyed. The hatch opened, and by the time Zardin followed Azur to safety, the craft was already blasting.
Who is the Eagle?
The Eagle is the spacecraft.
People flying on the Eagle?
Pretty exciting, huh?
Uh-huh.
You want to continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Skip arrives home and pulls into the driveway. He gets out of the car, reaches across the driver's seat for his books, and drops one on the ground. He kicks it, slams the car door, and picks up the book. Skip enters the house and tries to sneak upstairs.
Skip?
Yes?
Come on in a minute.
Annoyed, Skip steps toward the kitchen, where Barbara is preparing some food.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. What's the word?
Word?
Yes, I tease.
They didn't come in yet.
Barbara samples a sauce.
Yuck. Good Barbara, it helps to put a little mustard in the mustard sauce.
She opens the fridge and takes out a jar of mustard.
So when will you know?
About what?
The SATs.
Oh, soon.
As she fusses with her sauce, Skip screws up his courage.
Mom?
Oh, honey, I pressed your cords and put them on your bed.
When she tastes the sauce again, Skip's courage wanes.
I'm sorry, what?
I just want to know if you need any help.
Well, if you could get your sister off the phone and into the kitchen, I'd be eternally grateful.
He heads upstairs to where Cindy lounges in a chair talking on the phone. When Skip picks up one of Cindy's magazines, she grabs it back.
Two magazines?
What do you want?
He smiles mysteriously.
Skip!
Mom wants you in the kitchen.
Thank you very much.
Skip leaves the room.
Nothing, it was just my brother. So I kicked the raddest corner kick.
Outside, Carl squirts lighter fluid on some barbecue briquettes. As he sets the charcoal alight, Skip steps into the backyard and walks apprehensively toward his father.
Hey. Hi. Do you need any help?
Ah, thanks. How was your day?
It's okay. It's fine. How's your new condo project coming?
Coming.
Good. I heard a new joke today.
Sure.
Well, a bunch of guys were working out in the gym.
Working out?
Yeah. 120 on the bench press.
No kidding.
Well, anyways, this duck, he goes into this drugstore, and he says to the druggist guy, he says, I'd like to buy a, he says... The druggist guy then says, okay, is this going to be cash or charge? And the duck says, neither. Just put it on my bill. You know, just
put it on my bill.
It's great.
Break the guys up at work.
Yeah.
120 on a bench press, huh? Tell you what, graduation, we'll get the whole works. Weights, bench, everything. Put it in the back house, we say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Skip fidgets nervously, then turns away from his father. In his room, he rummages in a drawer and pulls out a book, The Collected Poems of Sylvia Plath. Cindy enters.
I want to talk to you.
Wait, haven't I told you you're not allowed in my room unless you're specifically invited?
Yeah, well, since you don't respect my privacy, why should I respect yours?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't appreciate you coming into my room and dumping your albums all over my floor.
All right, fine. If you don't want them, just bring them back in here.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you right? Did you just say
you
that
heard
I...
me?
Now, we are talking about the same record collection I've forbidden to use any time under any circumstance.
Listen, you better say yes before I change my mind.
Yes, yes. I mean, I want them. I just can't figure out why you don't want them.
Just not into music anymore.
Not even the new Springsteen.
They're all yours.
Thanks. But you're really weird, you know that?
At least I don't read teen magazines.
Cute.
She leaves the room. Skip picks up the book of poetry. Later, he walks downstairs. He He watches his mother carry food to a table in the backyard. Carl walks to the table.
Are we going to serve here or off the barbecue?
No, why don't we serve the barbecue?
Skip steps outside.
I'm not going to be here for the barbecue.
Oh, Skip.
Somebody called in sick at work, and I said that I'd replace him.
I wish you'd told us sooner.
Well, I can cancel if you want me to.
No. Do what you gotta do.
Okay. See ya.
Skip enters the house.
Gee, that's not like him.
No, it's not that important.
Well, it doesn't bother you that
he's... Look, Barbara, he's just a kid. Leave him alone.
Barbara reflects for a few moments, then hurries through the house and opens the front door.
Skip!
Skip drives away. Barbara watches regretfully as he goes. After nightfall, Skip sits in his car outside a luxurious suburban house. Gets out of the car. Skip knocks on the front door. Andrea opens it.
Hi.
Hi.
She peers past him down the street, then smiles at him.
I just happened to be in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd, No, that's not true. I wanted to apologize for today.
Can you come in for a minute?
Sure.
He steps inside. They enter the living room and sit on a couch.
Where are your parents?
They're out to dinner. Look, Skip, I wanted to explain about this afternoon.
No, that's okay. I understand.
No, you don't. Skip, I really like you. I really do.
I really like you, too. You're really beautiful, you know that?
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, no, you're not. No, I'm the one who should be sorry. You know, for the July crack. Because, you know, I know that you're busy and...
I'm not. I just said that because I like you, but not in that way, okay?
Averting his eyes, he nods glumly.
Oh, see, I have hurt your feelings.
Feelings? What are those?
I just thought it'd be better if we, you know, understood each other.
Absolutely.
So we can be friends?
Yes.
They shake hands, and Andrea steps past him to answer the door. A college boy waits on the doorstep.
Hi.
Hi, Andy. You look great. I like that.
Thanks.
Oh, I better get going.
Thanks for stopping by, Skip. And have a great weekend, okay?
Oh, I will.
Hold on for just a second. I gotta get my papers.
As she steps inside, the college boy watches as Skip retreats toward the street. Skip sees the college boy escort Andrea to his car. Skip slowly gets into his car as the couple departs. Skip gets out of his car, holding the Sylvia Plath poetry book. He leaves the book on Andrea's doorstep. Later, at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant, mechanical puppets perform to a jukebox tune at a children's birthday party. In a booth nearby, Skip sits with his pretty friend from school who wears a server's uniform.
I didn't even tell you the best part. Okay, I get over there and she invites me in, starts telling me she really likes me. But she can't go out with me because she's got to go out with this college guy. Because his folks are friends with hers. But she said she really likes me and she'd like to go out sometime.
Andrea's an airhead. I'm sorry, Michael, she is. She's not for you.
Well, how do you know?
Because I know you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Besides, it's not so bad. I mean, over half the population's other girls.
Like who?
Me?
She smiles coyly.
Come on, Patty.
Why not?
We're friends.
It breaks over, Jacobs. Let's go.
Jerk. I'll go swimming with you.
Skip looks at her skeptically.
Pick me up when I get off so I can get my suit, okay?
Suit?
Okay, no suit. Michael, I'm glad you're not going away to school.
He gazes at her uncertainly.
Hey, Jacobs, how about sometime this century, all right?
Yeah, I better go before I get you fired. I'll see you later, okay? Bye.
He turns away, but hesitates. Then returns to give her a hug. Penny holds him close. As Skip walks away, Penny watches him go, smiling happily. Soon after, Skip arrives at the pool party. Hidden in the shadows, he watches the other teenagers frolicking in the pool. Skip emerges from the darkness and steps into the halo of light that surrounds the pool.
I don't know, they changed their minds.
Huh. Come on in the water.
Skip shakes his head.
Oh, come on. Skip. Come on.
Skip grins and takes off his shirt. He steps onto the diving board. Coyly, Skip undoes his jeans and pulls them down, revealing his underwear. He steps out of his jeans. Skip slips and falls into the water. Later, he gets dressed as Ken plays pool.
Skip, why are you leaving? This evening has not yet begun, and I'm telling you, Carolyn Jasper has got the hots for you.
Yeah, and Carolyn Jasper's younger than my little sister.
Oh, come on, man. It's Friday night. Why don't we try to have a good time, huh?
I don't know. I'm just kind of sick of all this.
Sick of it? Well, I think you got that Andrea girl on your brain.
You tell me about it.
I'm telling you. Why don't you just forget about her? So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I could always kill myself.
Oh, sure, Skip. Right.
All right, I'm going to take off, okay?
All right, listen, if you decide to come back, you know, we're going to be here all night. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Ken?
Huh?
If you were going to do it, would you tell anybody?
I guess it depends on who I was going to do it to, right? What, you mean if
I was... He draws a finger across his throat.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I'd tell my best friend, I'd tell you. I don't know.
As Skip wrestles with his emotions, Ken sets up his next shot.
No, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't want you to feel responsible, you know?
Skip nods.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go.
Okay, see you later.
The two shake hands, and Skip leaves. Soon after, on a deserted road, Skip's car headlights probe the darkness. He pulls off into a gravel parking lot. Sitting in the car, he ponders his next move. Skip steps out of the car. He slowly walks away from the car. and stops at the edge of a sheer cliff. Waves crash onto jagged rocks far below. Standing on the brink, Skip peers down through the darkness to the rocks. Meanwhile, at the barbecue...
Of course I can be Wonder Woman. I look like Wonder Woman. He said, no, you don't. You don't have those things. She said, what things? And he said, ropes.
While Skip suffers the torment of his thoughts, Penny serves soft drinks at the restaurant's busy counter. As Skip chokes back his bitter tears, Ken kisses a girl beside the pool. Skip hurries to his car. He backs the car across the parking lot away from the cliff. He hesitates. Then slams the transmission into drive and floors the accelerator. The car speeds toward a barrier beside the cliff. Skip closes his eyes as the car smashes through the barrier and plunges into the abyss. Later, Barbara and Carl mourn at Skip's funeral, their faces filled with grief. Her eyes brimming with tears, Penny also grieves for Skip. Andrea is present, but she sheds no tears. Cindy gazes numbly at her brother's coffin. Ken glances at Penny. The church is filled with people. After the service, everyone streams out into the sunlight.
Terrible accident. It was terrible.
Kids and
Cindy
cars.
Eavesdrops on Andrea's friends.
Death by misadventure. That's what they call it. It spares the family.
He always looks so normal.
That's because he was crazy. You've got to be to kill yourself.
He looks sane in English and up at the pool.
Look, talk to Andrea if you don't believe me. She'll tell you the way it was.
I can't believe he was that crazy.
Meanwhile, inside the church, Barbara stands beside Skip's coffin with Carl at her side. She ignores him.
I brought this boy into the world. When I'm ready, I'll say goodbye.
Grief-stricken, Carl leaves Barbara and walks down the aisle. Barbara lingers beside her dead son.
Goodbye, kiddo.
Soon after, some people get into their cars. As Carl, Barbara, and Cindy prepare to depart in a black limousine, Ken approaches them.
Thank you for coming.
I'm very sorry. You're a good friend.
If there's anything I can do,
Carl pats Ken's arm and steps into the limousine. Ken ambles over to Penny.
You want a ride?
To where?
They both watch as Skip's coffin is carried down the church steps.
Why do you have to do it?
It's a rumor and you know it.
No, it's not. He told me he was going to do it.
He told you?
Yeah.
He actually told you?
Yeah.
He actually said, Ken, I'm going to commit suicide.
No, not in so many words. I thought it was all a joke.
Penny looks at him, horrified, and walks away.
Where are you going?
She keeps walking. Ken watches as Skip's coffin is loaded into the hearse. After the funeral, Carl stands in the yard, gazing at the unfinished back house. Barbara watches him nearby, then steps toward him. They throw their arms around each other. Next morning, Barbara lies asleep in bed, smiling. As she awakens, the reality of her son's death returns, and her expression turns to sadness. She begins to cry. After, she wanders through the house. Hearing the hammering outside, she steps toward a sliding door. Barbara steps outside and watches as Carl works on the back house. She crosses the garden toward him.
Doing?
Finally gonna finish this back house. Now, I thought there'd be more extensive damage from the winter rains, but old frames held up pretty well.
Carl.
I know what you're thinking, but don't worry. I'm giving it some thought, and it's not gonna break the bank. Besides, it'll be fun.
Don't they need you at work today?
Sure. I'll just be a minute. Want to remeasure some dimensions.
As Carl scribbles some figures, Barbara turns away sadly and goes back to the house. Inside, she slowly climbs the stairs toward the second floor. Curious about the noises coming from Skip's room, Barbara investigates.
What are you doing?
Cindy is searching through Skip's room.
I asked you a simple question.
Just looking.
For what? Cynthia?
A note.
Well, couldn't you wait it? I mean, look at this. Couldn't you have had the common courtesy? This is your brother's room.
Mom, I'm sorry.
What note?
About the accident.
A note? About the accident? From whom?
From Skip.
What are you talking about? Why aren't you in school?
Well, Daddy said I didn't have to go.
Did he also say you could ransack your brother's room?
Mother!
Cindy leaves the room.
It was an accident!
Later, at school, Cindy watches Andrea stroll toward her locker with her friends.
Hi,
Andrea.
Andrea turns to her friends.
Maybe you guys should wait for me outside, okay?
As the girls leave, Andrea opens a locker. Cindy steps nervously toward her.
I want to talk to you. Say it to my face.
What?
That my brother was crazy.
I never said that.
That's not what your friend said. I heard them, Andrea.
Look, I feel really badly about what happened.
Do you?
Yes. I liked Skip. I was nice to him. I was. I tried to be. He just...
Just what?
Wouldn't go away.
Andrea takes out Skip's poetry book from her locker.
Skip left this on my dorm the night that he died. Read it carefully. Read what he wrote in the margins. And then you tell me how I'm supposed to feel.
Andrea stalks off. Cindy watches her go. Then opens the book. Soon after, in class, Cindy studies Skip's book. Ken watches her reading. Later, after phys ed class, Ken enters the locker room and sits on a bench in front of his locker. He looks at Skip's locker beside his. Opening it, he peers inside, but it's empty. Ken punches Skip's locker, then holds his head in his hands. Later, Ken walks past some basketball courts.
Hey, Chris, how about a little one-on-one?
I got things to do.
He's still in mourning, huh?
You got a big mouth, you know that?
Life goes on. Come on, one game to ten, I gotta practice.
Ken drops his books and strips off his t-shirt. Ken dodges past the other boy and sinks a basket.
So what'd they say? Any last words?
You gonna talk or play?
What's the matter? Can't do both?
Ken drives toward the basket. But the other boy blocks him and steals the ball. When Ken's opponent shoots, the ball bounces off the rim. The boy gets the rebound, takes another shot, and scores.
Good old Skip. What if he changed his mind halfway down?
Ken takes the ball away from him and scores his second basket.
Okay, Cruz.
Ken scores again. Ken sinks his fourth basket. And a fifth. A sixth. A seventh. An eighth. Ken scores again.
Ten.
Ken walks off the court.
A big deal. What the hell are you trying to prove anyway?
Ken picks up his t-shirt and books and hurries off to the hospital.
All right, place your bets, everybody. Place your bets.
Ken plays poker with Henry and some other kids.
Okay. What'll be, Henry, my man?
Henry is listless.
We didn't even look at your cards. Let's see what you got here.
He reveals the cards.
Right, blackjack. This man's a winner.
Henry ignores Ken's patter.
No spades double. Okay.
Ken looks at the boy, concerned.
You want this?
Henry doesn't respond. Later, Ken wheels Henry back to his room. He pulls back the boy's covers.
Okay, come at me.
him up and puts him in bed.
Thanks. Okay. Let's get this off.
You know anybody who died?
What?
You know anybody who died?
Yeah.
Who?
Friend.
What did he die of?
Friend died in a car accident.
That's the worst. There's no way to get yourself prepared. At least I know what's gonna happen to me.
Hey, this conversation's getting a little morbid, don't you think?
Morbid? What's that?
It means gloomy, you know. Shouldn't we be talking about girls or baseball or... I don't know, I mean, you're getting out of here pretty soon. Am I right or am I right?
Henry avoids Ken's gaze.
Okay. You gotta go? All right.
When Ken scoops Henry into his arms, hey. The little boy clings to him tightly.
You okay, Henry?
I'm not gonna see you no more.
What?
I'm not gonna see you no more.
No, don't say that. Sure you will. You're gonna be all right. You'll see me. Okay? Huh?
Tears trickle down Henry's cheeks. Meanwhile, Cindy rides her bike along a coastal road. She arrives at a spot where a work crew is repairing a roadside barrier. It's the place where Skip killed himself. As a worker lays a wooden post on the ground, Cindy steps toward the edge of the cliff.
Careful.
What happened?
Guy went through it. It's not as strong as one of your freeway dividers, but he'd sure have to hit it a pretty good whack to take out a section as clean as this. Pretty much head on, too.
Funny accident.
Yeah, like accidentally on purpose. There's not even any skid marks. Guy went through this, you asked me, he knew what he wanted. It wasn't breakfast the next morning. Might as well have stood here and dove.
Cindy peers over the edge at the rock-strewn surf far below. That night, a dejected Cindy eats dinner with her gloomy mother and father.
So, how's the new project going?
It's fine.
You, Kim? What'd you do at school today?
Nothing.
Come on, you had to do something.
I talked to Andrea.
Who's that?
A girl Skip likes. Liked. And then I rode out to the bluffs.
On your bike?
How are you going to fence that place off?
It wouldn't stop anybody.
What's for dessert?
Why are we pretending? Skip didn't die in an accident.
Who told you that?
Nobody. It's obvious.
It wasn't obvious to the police or to the coroner. Maybe you know something they didn't.
Maybe I do. There weren't any skid marks.
The way the ground was chewed up and Skip sideswiping
the guardrail. Daddy, he hit it head on. He had to break it like that.
Cindy, I'm sorry that somebody has upset you, but let's try not to make this any harder than it is.
But what if Skip killed himself? Because he thought that we didn't care.
We'll talk about it later.
I want to talk about it now.
Skip knew we cared.
I never told him.
He knew.
How? Did you say it? Did you ever say I love you?
As Carl drops his gaze, Barbara ponders Cindy's words. Carl gets up and stalks into the kitchen. Cindy leaves the table and walks out in the opposite direction. Barbara buries her face in her hands. Outside, Ken pulls up and stops in front of the house. Inside, Cindy holds a framed photo of Skip.
You killed my brother. 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 You killed my brother.
Cindy goes on a rampage, smashing her way through Skip's room. Standing outside on the sidewalk, Ken hears Cindy raging. Carl and Barbara rush upstairs.
Cindy! 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 Stop!
They restrain Cindy.
Stop! It's okay!
Cindy.
It's okay!
Cindy.
It's okay! It's okay! It's okay! It's okay!
Another day, Barbara enters the restaurant where Skip worked.
Hello?
She wanders into a separate room and smiles when she sees the mechanical puppets. A man enters, pushing a vacuum cleaner.
Sorry, lady, we're closed.
I know. I'm looking for a Mr. Bonaducci. Is he here? Yeah.
You're talking to him.
Hello. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm Skip's mom.
Oh, Mrs. Lewis, I'm very sorry to... I put his check in the mail.
We got it. Thanks. Do you know, I never got a chance to come down here before. It's nice. It's really nice.
Well, you're more than welcome to stay up, but I do have to get the place cleaned up.
No, I'm leaving.
Mr. Bonaducci steps away.
Mr. Bonaducci?
He stops and turns toward her.
I know Skip worked here the night he died.
He wasn't working. He quit last Tuesday.
He what?
Didn't tell me either. But he did stop by.
Did he say anything?
Not to me. He was with Jacobs.
With who?
Penny Jacobs, his girlfriend.
Barbara takes this in.
Well, is there a way I could get in touch with her?
Yeah, I got some numbers in the back. Hold on, I'll get it for you.
He steps away. Shaken, Barbara sits down. Soon after, she confronts Carl at a construction site.
I don't know what harm could possibly come from just meeting the girl.
No harm. I just don't see what good can come from it.
I won't know that until I talk to her. Come with me, Carl, please.
No. No, this is all yours. We don't know if this girl even meant anything.
Exactly. There may be a lot about Skip's life we never knew. Carl... She could also have been the last person to have seen our son alive. He may have said something to her. For that reason alone, it's worth finding her.
I just think you're getting a little carried away.
Carl, he lied to us.
We've got to put it behind us.
We've got to understand it first.
Really?
No, don't protect me from this. I want to know the truth. We both need to know the truth.
So don't ask me. You don't need my permission. Just go talk to him.
He stalks off. Meanwhile, as Cindy studies in class, Ken watches her from his desk across the room. He leaves. goes downstairs to the ground floor and enters a hallway a few steps ahead of the guidance counselor.
Ken? When are you coming in to talk about those colleges?
Soon.
Those were good scores. You should have your choice.
Great.
How are you doing?
Okay.
I guess that's how we all feel.
Yeah.
Come and see me when you feel like it. We don't just have to talk about colleges, you know.
Okay.
When he steps away, she watches him worriedly. Later, Ken stands in the Lewis's backyard, gazing at the unfinished back house. Carl arrives in his El Camino pickup. As he gets out of the car, Ken heads toward him.
Hey, Mr. Lewis.
Ed.
Ken.
How's it going?
It's okay. What are you doing here?
I just dropped by.
Where did you get school?
We had a half day. Got out early. What is all this stuff you got?
That's conduit. Tuba for ice. I'm going to finish that back house that Skip and I framed out last summer.
Can you use an extra hand on it? I mean, you wouldn't have to pay me or anything.
Nobody works for nothing. Not for me, anyway.
No, no, I mean, I just meant, you know, I'd like to help out.
Sure. Grab a couple of those. I could use a hand.
Ken grabs a couple of rolls of roofing felt and leads the way to the back house. Meanwhile, Barbara steps toward the front door of a modest house. She hesitates, then rings the doorbell. Penny opens the door.
Hello. Are you Penny?
Mm-hmm.
I went by the school and they said you'd been sick all week.
Yeah, I haven't been feeling too well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Barbara Lewis. Skip's mom.
I know.
Penny, there's something I have to know.
Penny opens the screen door.
Did Skip kill himself?
Yes.
How do you know?
Mrs. Lewis, everyone knows.
Barbara looks away, deeply disturbed. At the back house, Ken attaches a piece of electrical conduit to a junction box.
Is this right?
Carl steps toward him.
Did I do that right?
Yeah. Quick learner.
I like working on stuff with my hands.
Well, that's good. It's important to know how to put things together. Keep them together, you know. Makes you more self-reliant. I'm gonna take a break. Something to drink?
Yeah.
They head for the house. Inside.
So, what'll it be? Orange juice, apple juice, cold beer?
Beer?
Yeah, I'll give you one if you promise not to tell anybody.
Scout's honor.
I can't trust an old Cub Scout. Who can I trust? Yeah, Cub Scout days. A lot of meetings in that old garage.
They step outside.
Yep, Pack 109. Thursday afternoons at the Lewis's.
Yeah, here's to Pack 109.
They toast.
Listen here.
They sit on a step.
Ken, I don't like to ask you this, but you were his best friend. You never heard Skip talk about hurting himself.
Ken considers the question.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but well, I don't know what to do. Cindy's been hearing some gossip. Her mother is upset. I'm caught in the middle.
I guess some people just don't understand.
Well, that's what I said. Skip knew that if he had a problem, he could come talk to me. My old man, well, we never talked much. Skip knew he could count on me.
I could count on him to be there. We were buddies.
At Penny's.
Was he on anything?
Michael didn't do drugs. He'd get really uncomfortable if someone was getting high. He used to say he was a square kid in a round world. He had all kinds of ways to describe how he felt he didn't fit. I guess he knew I could relate to that.
You called him Michael?
He felt Skip was a kid's name. He said it made him feel like a baby.
Barbara bows her head.
I'm sorry.
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it all.
I don't know what else I can tell you.
Well, besides the SAT tests, was there anything else, anything that you know that was upsetting him?
Andrea Henderson.
Bonnie Henderson's daughter.
Penny shrugs.
She's a senior, real popular. Uh-huh. Michael was kind of obsessed with her. He used to talk about her all the time.
You two weren't a couple?
Well, sometimes I'd think so, too. But Michael kept so much locked inside of him that I knew he could never be close to me.
Or his family.
No, he admired you. He used to tell me that if only he could be confident and successful like the rest of his family, that he'd be happy.
Barbara ponders Penny's words.
Well, I think it was real lucky to have a friend like you.
Penny smiles shyly.
I loved him.
At the Lewis's.
I knew I shouldn't let you talk to that girl.
Let me?
Oh, don't, Barbara. You always do this. Twist around what I'm saying.
Okay, what is it you're really saying?
I'm saying... I don't know this girl.
Well, you could have met her if you'd come with me like I begged you to, but you were so busy.
Well, I'm sorry I was out there trying to make a buck.
So wait, came home at noon and worked on the back house all day?
If you had been here, you could have talked to Ken like I did. And you could have found out like I did that there was nothing wrong with our son, and that's final.
No, it's not. Not by a long shot.
Okay. Here's how we'll handle
it. Oh, please, tell me.
If you want to believe what this girl says...
Her name is Penny.
Fine. If you want to believe what this Penny says, be my guest. But don't condemn me for trusting the judgment of Skip's best friend.
He's got to be lying.
Upstairs, Cindy overhears this.
I don't care what she said. Ken didn't say it.
Well, maybe I should talk to him.
I already talked to him. What do you want to harass him for? Doesn't he feel bad enough already?
Him? What about us, Carl? What about your family? Will you put down that magazine? You don't want to know the truth. Carl! Our son killed himself, and you've got your head stuck in that back house. It's a year too late, Carl. Our son is dead. He'll never live in there anymore.
He throws down his magazine.
Is this what you want to accomplish?
No, I know what I want!
Well, what do you want? You want to talk? I'm listening. Give me an answer.
He slams the bathroom door in his face.
Oh, great!
Upstairs, Cindy is shaken. The next day in speech class, Cindy is videotaped by one of her classmates.
Silence of the Heart by Cynthia Lewis. Dying is an art, like everything else. I do it exceptionally well. I do it so it feels like hell. I do it so it feels real. I guess you could say I have a call. Sylvia Plath wrote that poem. Later she killed herself. This is a book that she wrote. It belonged to my brother. He killed himself. But he didn't write poetry. He didn't even write a note. So I can't tell you what he was thinking before he died. All I can tell you for sure about Skip is this. He wasn't crazy.
Cindy?
That's the myth, the dangerous myth, that you have to be crazy to kill yourself. We let my brother kill himself, all of us, like witnesses to a crime we were too scared to stop. That makes all of us accomplices to murder.
Cindy, that'll be enough.
How many of you have never thought about committing suicide? Come on, raise your hand if you've never thought about it.
A few do, including Ken.
Are you telling the
Cindy.
Truth? You never have?
A teacher steps to Cindy's side.
Cindy!
Never? You never have?
Cindy, let's talk about it outside.
Cindy moves toward the door.
So what's wrong with the rest of us? Or are we the normal ones?
Now, Cynthia.
As they step into the hall, the other students gossip, but Ken is shaken. Outside.
Cynthia, calm down.
Why are we afraid to talk about it? Why did you censor my speech?
It has nothing to do with censorship. You had an approved topic.
Come on, Mr. Norlin, that's not the real reason.
You want to know the truth? The truth is you're not qualified to lead a discussion about suicide.
That's not it. The subject makes us feel uncomfortable, so we don't want to talk about it. We think the people that do talk about it are crazy. We're all afraid to admit our feelings when we get depressed. That's how Skip felt. He was afraid to tell anyone, afraid no one would care.
Mr. Norlin is unable to respond. After class, Ken waits for Cindy outside the guidance office.
Hey, how'd it go with Bernie?
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't suspend it or what?
No, we just talked. I'm probably going to have one speech.
Well, it was worth it. I mean, I don't care what anybody says, your speech was great. I mean, you said things that really needed to be said, you know?
Thanks.
It's like you said, you know, sometimes life hurts so bad that it's not that you want to die, it's just that you don't want to go on living anymore, you know?
I never said anything like that.
You sure? I thought I heard you. I must have picked it up. Hey, did your dad tell you I'm working on the back house with him?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah? You don't resent me coming around, do you?
No, I guess not.
It takes a load off my mind. Your parents are really good people, you know? Oh, my mom stepped at each other's throats all day long. I guess you would know what that's like, eh?
Are you kidding? My parents fight all the time now.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, they just fought last night. In fact, they even mentioned your name.
No, wait, I mean, they talked about...
I don't remember what it was. Something about something you said to my dad or what Henny said to my mother.
No, come on, seriously, tell me, what?
Ken, I don't remember. Look, I don't want to be late for biology class.
And no, wait, come on, Cindy, will you tell me?
He grabs her roughly.
I was in my room! I was trying not to listen, okay?
As she picks up her scattered books, Ken grabs Skip's book of poems.
Can I have my brother's book back? Ken!
He ignores her and walks away down the deserted hallway. Later, as Cindy rides home on her bike, Barbara leaves the house and steps toward the driveway.
Hi, Mom!
Cindy rides up the front walk.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I gotta pick up a few things. You wanna come?
No, thanks.
Cindy?
Mom, I think you ought to talk to Ken's parents.
Ken Cruz?
Something's wrong with him. He's acting really weird. Today in school, he just started screaming at me in front of everybody. And then he grabbed me by the arm. I mean, he really grabbed me hard.
Slow down.
He took Skip's book and he wouldn't give it back to me, even when I asked him for it.
Why? What happened?
I heard you and Dad arguing and I heard Ken's name. I told him I was trying not to listen.
Sorry, kiddo. I wish it was easier.
Mom, everybody's going crazy. Isn't it enough that Skip had to die? Does everything else have to fall apart, too?
Barbara takes Cindy into her arms and comforts her.
Look, your dad and I have some things to work out. We'll work them out. They have nothing to do with you. As far as Ken's concerned, he just needs time.
I just wish you could have seen how crazy he was acting, though.
Cindy, I can't go to his parents and tell them how to raise their own son.
But maybe they don't know what's going on with him. Just like we didn't know about Skip. Maybe if somebody had come to us, Skip would still be alive.
Barbara considers this and nods.
All right. Okay, I'll think about it.
Thanks.
I promise. Be back in an hour. Got some homework?
Yeah.
Barbara gazes affectionately at her daughter.
I love you.
Cindy smiles.
I love you too.
Barbara walks to her car. Later, Barbara parks on a busy street. She steps out of the car. In a nearby office...
Well, there's no set duration for an escrow period. 60 days, 90 days. It's all subject to negotiation.
Barbara enters the crowded office.
Tomorrow morning, I'm sure we'll come up with terms we can all live with.
The woman on the phone waves to Barbara.
Okay. Good. I'll look forward to seeing you. Bye. Barbara, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
John and I were so sorry we missed the funeral. He was out of town and we've just been swamped here.
I understand.
Did you get our card?
Yes, thank you. Is there a place where we can talk a little bit more privately?
Sure.
They enter an empty office nearby. The woman closes the door.
Oh, boy. I've been trying to sort everything out. I don't know how to say it gracefully.
Oh, I know how terrible this must be for you. How's Carl doing?
Okay. So, Marilyn, I'm concerned about Ken.
Ken?
And they were such good friends.
So?
Well, you knew that Ken was extremely upset about what happened to Skip.
Oh, which is normal and which we talked about. But go on.
Well, I guess you know that Ken's going to be spending a lot more time at our home. He and Carl are working on the back house. That's normal, too. I don't care about that. But it's just that he's not the same at school. According to Cindy, he's...
Cindy?
Ken said some very upsetting things to her, and it was also the way he said them.
Don't you think you're taking a lot on, Barbara? God knows you have enough problems of your own right now. Excuse me. Yes? Oh, tell him to hold. I'll be right with him. I'm sorry, Barbara. I have to take this call.
Go ahead.
But if there's anything we can do to help, please.
No, look, I shouldn't have come. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad that you did. And I'll keep a closer eye on Ken. Barbara, our sons were friends for a long time. I'll call. We'll have lunch next week.
Barbara leaves the room.
Fred, how are you?
Barbara walks out of the office and steps toward her car. She breathes deeply, trying to calm herself. Later, at the school, Barbara and Carl review Cindy's tape with the guidance counselor.
He wasn't crazy. That's the myth, the dangerous myth, that you have to be crazy to kill yourself. We let my brother kill himself, all of us. As witnesses to a crime, we were too scared to stop. That makes all of us accomplices. Murder. How many of you have never thought about committing suicide? Never? You never have?
The counselor shuts off the VCR.
So, it's very disturbing.
Quite the way I'd put it.
Can't believe that Sidney would say that. Accomplices to murder.
When there's a death in the family, especially a suicide, it's not uncommon for parents and brothers and sisters to feel responsible.
I thought we came here to deal with Cindy's problem, not how Skip died.
Sorry, Carl thinks that Skip's death was an accident.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lewis. I just assumed...
Well, don't assume anything.
Oh, come on, Carl. No, it's fine. I won't assume anything. Would you mind if I ask some personal questions?
Fine.
Did you notice any dramatic change in Skip's behavior? His diet, different sleeping habits?
No.
Yes. All of those things, but there was nothing dramatic. All the changes were subtle.
No. Skip was outgoing. He was always...
Carl, why did he lie to us about the SATs? Why did he lie to us about his job?
Kids don't kill themselves because they flunked a test or because some girl won't go out with them.
How do you know that?
Sometimes they do. I know it sounds trivial from an adult perspective, but kids don't see things from our point of view. They see it from theirs. And sometimes their problems are too much to handle.
That wasn't Skip.
All right, how about his personal things? Did he organize his room? Did he give away anything? Did he do anything unusual?
Yes, his records, his record collection. He gave Cindy, his sister, his record collection the day he died.
So?
Mr. Lewis, we are just beginning to understand the ways our children ask for help.
I think that if my son had this kind of problem, he would have come to me.
That's not always true. Children worry we'll see them as failures or think they're crazy. Very few talk to adults, and that silence can make them desperate. There's probably no way that we can be certain about what happened that night, but...
Well, you seem pretty certain. And I'd like to know who gives you the right to sit in judgment over me. What was I supposed to do? Send my kid to a shrink because he was moody?
There are some things we parents can't handle. It doesn't mean we failed.
Carl gazes at Barbara, then stalks out of the room.
I'm sorry.
If you find you need someone to talk to, please call me. I can make a couple of recommendations.
Thank you.
Barbara steps toward the door. Carl waits for Barbara outside in the car. Barbara gets in.
Carl.
I don't know. Skip. Suicide. I can't believe it.
He's not who we thought. Tragedy, Carl. It's not a crime.
Then how come I feel like a criminal?
Barbara gazes at him, concerned. Later, at home, Carl sits in the backyard and stares at the back house. Deeply worried, Barbara watches him from the kitchen.
Cindy
enters the kitchen.
Hi.
Hi. Thought about running for Senate? How about President of the United States?
Cindy hesitates nervously.
Did Mrs. Roberti call you?
Barbara nods.
I saw the tape. I'm proud of you.
Cindy smiles.
Daddy, too?
I have to ask him that yourself. Come here, you.
She gives Cindy a hug.
We'll get through this, honey, I promise you. We'll get through it.
Even Daddy?
Soon after, in the backyard, Cindy uneasily approaches her father.
Daddy, I know you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. Why should I be mad at you?
Mom said you saw my speech. I was just trying to make him understand.
I know. I'll admit I wasn't too thrilled, but it's understandable. As far as I'm concerned, what's done is done. It's history.
Dad, are you and Mom going to get a divorce?
He looks at her, astonished.
No. Why?
I don't know what's happening to us.
She sits beside him.
What do you think is happening? Sweetheart.
I think the family's falling apart.
Falling apart? This family? Cindy, let me tell you something. This family is not falling apart. We will stay together. I promise you.
Cindy is skeptical.
Give me a hug.
They hug. Carl tries to smile. That night, as Barbara lies in bed, Cindy peeks in and sees that she's alone. Troubled, Cindy turns away and walks to the head of the stairs, where she hears her father watching TV below. Cindy returns to her room. Dejected, she sinks onto her bed and sits staring into space. Downstairs,
hey, Pop.
Carl watches an old TV show.
Back over to the ranch, I think.
Carl stares numbly at the screen, eating pretzels. At school the next day, Penny opens her locker and looks at a notebook. Ken slams her locker shut.
What did you tell him?
What?
You told him Skip's parents. You told him something.
Don't worry, I never mentioned your name.
No, I want to know what you told them.
You were his best friend, and you're running around trying to protect yourself.
Is that what you told them, huh?
I resent Michael's mother coming to me. Why didn't you go to them and tell them what you knew?
How could I have told them? I couldn't tell them.
You were a coward with Michael, and you're a coward with them.
They are all I've got left.
Well, what have they got?
She storms off. Later, in his room, Ken plays drums to the music playing in his headphones. Ken's mother climbs a staircase and looks into his room.
Kenny!
Ken can't hear her. He looks up.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
She motions to him to remove his headphones.
What are you doing home?
No biology lab. Short day today. You're home kind of early, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I thought I'd get some dinner on for you guys. I've got a buyer coming into the office at 4.
Cute.
She steps out.
Hey, Mom.
Hmm?
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Skip?
Ken nods.
We've been thinking about him too, honey. You know that.
No, that's not it.
We've got to have him over.
He turns off the music.
I could have stopped him.
What?
Why didn't I do anything? You know, I sat there and I heard him tell me that he was going to do it.
I know how you're feeling. Believe.
No, Mom, you don't.
Look. These feelings go away. You're a boy. Kids get down. It's okay. You'll bounce back. You always do.
Yeah, I guess.
There's no way you can feel guilty. You're feeling a loss. And of course you are.
Mom, I feel like I'm going crazy.
Honey, Skip was crazy. He shouldn't have come to you. He should have gone to a doctor. That's where those people go. Okay?
Ken ponders her words.
Yeah.
Okay.
She kisses his cheek and pats his head.
I'll talk to you later.
Ken stares unhappily at the floor. Later, Ken walks through the hospital to a nursing station.
Hey, look, I know it's not visiting hours, but I brought your bride.
Ken, you can't.
Oh, come on, I practically work here.
Ken, listen to me.
Oh, you listen. Look, I got some new tapes. Come on in, we'll all have a party. Hey, Henry, my man, what...
He enters Henry's room. But the little boy's gone, and the bed is stripped. Ken stares at the empty bed. He drops the tapes, then curls his fingers into a fist. Ken turns and walks out. That night, Ken writes a note beginning with the words, "I'm sorry." Reads the note over carefully. Folding the paper, he inserts the note into Skip's book of poetry. Ken crosses the room and switches off his stereo. Soon after, he stops his car in front of the darkened Lewis residence. Ken gets out of the car and walks toward the front door with Skip's book. At the door, he hesitates. Ken steps to Cindy's bike nearby and places the book into the package rack on the back. Ken wheels the bicycle across the lawn and leaves it in the middle of the driveway on its kickstand. Ken arrives at the spot where Skip committed suicide. Stopping the car, he ponders his next move. Meanwhile, back at the Lewis's, headlights illuminate Cindy's bike.
I didn't leave it there.
Would you mind moving it?
Look, I will.
Forget it, Mom. I'll move it.
Cindy gets out of the car and steps toward the driveway. She moves the bicycle out of the driveway, then notices Skip's book on the rack. Cindy picks up the book and finds Ken's note inside. She reads it quickly.
Oh, Ken.
Listen.
When Carl steps to her side, she hands him the note and he studies it.
Go inside. Call Ken's parents. Barbara, come with me. I'll tell you.
Carl and Barbara hurry to the car.
Carl?
At the seaside, waves break over the jumble of jagged rocks beneath the cliff where Skip died. Mesmerized by the waves, Ken gazes down from the cliff. Barbara and Carl speed toward the cliff. Carl pulls off onto the gravel and startles Ken. They stop nearby.
Ken, what do you think you're doing now? Ken, look, this isn't going to solve anything. This is going to create more problems.
Don't come any closer.
Now, come on. We can talk, can't we?
No, you don't understand.
Not alone. We all miss Skip. I'm confused, too.
Carl, please, please.
I'm talking to him.
I could have stopped him. He came to me, and I did not hear him. He told me what he was going to do, and I did not listen. We were at this party together. He was all bummed out, and I told him to lighten up. He's talking about killing himself. His best friend tells him to lighten up.
We all missed it. It didn't just start that night.
No, but that night, he came to me. He told me, not you.
No, that's not true. He came to me, too. He tried to talk to me, too, but I was too damn busy. We're all too damn busy. Skip didn't know how to come out and tell us how he was feeling. He gave us hints, and we missed them, all of us. God, it wasn't your fault. He chose to do what he did. It was his decision, not yours.
I should have said something, though.
What would you have said?
I told him it's all right, that you get over it, man. You know, it's gonna be all right. You're gonna get over it. You get over it.
As Ken reflects on his own words, Barbara and Carl watch tensely.
He was my best friend. I loved him.
We all did.
We love you too.
When Ken steps toward them, Carl takes him in his arms and hugs him. Barbara caresses Ken's hair. Later, Carl sits in the backyard, gazing morosely at the unfinished back house. Barbara comes out of the house and walks toward him.
Hi, kiddo.
She hands him a jacket.
Thought you might be chilling.
Thanks. You wanna sit down?
When she squeezes into his lawn chair, he puts his arm around her and covers them both with his jacket.
That feels good.
Now, what really burns me, it's that I don't cry.
A lot of men can't cry.
No, not can't. Don't. Is it any wonder that my son didn't know how to express himself?
Carl, it's a lot more complicated than that.
I've been searching my memory, trying to find some clue.
God, I do it all the time.
Back when we first started this back house, Skip stood right there. And he asked me if we were building this to get rid of him. I just laughed. I just laughed. And I told him about how much more freedom he'd have. About stunts that I'd pulled when I was his age.
the same now. We were never very close after that.
Barbara snuggles up to Carl and lays her head on his chest. He holds her close.
I still dream about Skip. I always will. Skip wanted what we all want. To love and be loved. To know the excitement and the joy of life. Not only its pain. He didn't realize that there was nothing he could do that would cost him our love. It's up to us to face and share the truth that there is sadness. There is aloneness. But that we all do matter. We all make a difference. There's always hope. And damn it, however tough it gets, life's worth living.
This described version of Silence of the Heart was created by Audiovision Canada.